thank you so much for joining us for today's episode of the Appraisal Buzzcast. With me, as always, is the host, Hal Humphreys. I'm going to bring him in. Hey, Hal, how are you doing?
Hello, Jim. How are you today?
Good. I'm very excited. We have one of our favorite guests, Dustin Harris, on with us today. Hey, Dustin, how are you?
Favorite guest. I love that. I'm good. Thank you, Jim. It's good to be with you.
Dustin Harris. How you doing, man?
Hal, my friend, it's so good to see you. Thank you. I'm great.
It has been, I feel like it's been far too long. You know, I think everybody that's going to be listening to this podcast knows who Dustin is, but we haven't talked to you in a little over a year. So what's been going on?
You know, it's been a fun ride the last year. My life has changed dramatically over the last couple of years. I've gone from, you know, the nuts and bolts of running an appraisal business to selling that appraisal business to becoming their director of education. I'm still doing a ton of private coaching with appraisers across the country, helping a lot of them with the topic that we are talking about today. Everybody's looking to increase their business, so I'm spending a lot of time doing that and just trying to get outside as much as possible. I love living in Idaho and getting out in the trees and the mountains and just enjoying the great outdoors.
You know, I'm with you there. I spent last week in Las Vegas for the appraisal summit, and by the time I got home, I needed some time in the woods and quiet.
I love it.
I totally get that. Let's do this real quick. I'm gonna give a little break to one of our sponsors and see what they have to say. Then we'll be right back.
LIA Administrators and Insurance Services, serving valuation professionals since 1978. We provide E&O insurance with a commitment to superior customer service, outstanding liability education, and unmatched claim defense, benefiting over 10,000 real estate professionals nationwide. Explore our exclusive appraiser liability education by Peter Christensen and cost-effective seminars designed to foster your growth. Our underwriters, with an average of 26 years of experience each, are dedicated to supporting appraisers. Visit liability.com to discover how LIA can safeguard your business.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Appraisal Buzz. I'm Hal Humphreys. I have Dustin Harris with me today. Dustin Harris, the appraisal coach. Dustin Harris, now you've been working with a company now for the past year or so. Who are you working with?
True Footage. They're the biggest appraisal company in the nation. They've made me the director of appraiser education. So I'm still doing private coaching with appraisers, and now I'm doing corporate coaching with appraisers.
I love it. That is awesome. So tell me this. You wrote an article for us recently over at Appraiser Buzz on what appraisers need to do to account for their hourly wage. Some appraisers are working a lot less but making more money. Is that possible? Can you give us some examples?
Yeah, so that's a really, really good question, Hal. And the answer, of course, is yes. I probably wouldn't be here if the answer wasn't yes, because it's not much of a story otherwise. You know, the thing that everyone knows is that we are in, you know, what could be defined as a challenging economic landscape right now. I'm in a unique position because of my membership teams, my mastermind groups, and my private coaching, that I kind of keep my ear to the ground as far as what's going on with appraisers across the country. I've got members in nearly every single state across the nation. And I can tell you, shocker, Hal, things are slow, right? Volume's down. And yet with all of that, there's actually some appraisers who are seeing an increased financial success right now.
And I know, you know, you probably, like me, spend a lot of time reading the comment sections on Facebook and all of the uplifting things that people have to say there. You know, when we talk about non-lending work, private appraisal work, there are those out there who just don't believe.
Yeah. No, I think that's one of the challenges, right? Because you get appraisers who say, well, I tried that, or that's too much work, or I need money now. This takes too long to reach out and do those things. But what we're finding, Hal, is that none of those things are true. All of those things are myths. Now, am I going to stand here and say that it doesn't take time to build up customer relations and to network and to build a clientele on the private side? Of course it takes time, right? That's why 2 years ago I was saying, hey, guys, things are good. but don't count on it forever. Let's be preparing right now. Let's getting those relationships up and going now, because it's going to be much, much difficult when every appraiser is out there with their hand out. But what's interesting, Hal, is I reached out to my All-Star team and I said, hey, I know of a couple myself, but I'm curious, how many of you are doing better in 2023 than you did in 2022? Now, of course, again, Hal, interest rates started going up the second quarter of 2022, right? But it really did not hit us hard until the third quarter of 2022. So a lot of appraisers did really well the first half of 2022. And frankly, they didn't do too bad the last half of 2022. But then in 2023, most appraisers across the country would agree with me that things slowed way, way, way down. So how in the world are there appraisers out there that are doing better in 2023 than they did the year previous? It seems crazy. And yet I had a flood of direct messages from, I shouldn't say a flood, I had a handful plus of individuals who reached out to me and said, yeah, Dustin, I'm doing better, not just better, but really better. And so in the article that I wrote for the Buzz, I actually did three case studies, and I could have done more, but just for brevity's sake, I did three case studies of individual appraisers who are doing better in 2023 than they did the year previous. And we went into details about numbers, like specifics, and most importantly, why, how they're doing better in 2023.
You know, the interesting thing is, you know, full disclosure, I'm a part of your mastermind group. I'm part of the Nashville group, and it's one of the smartest things I ever did, not just for the appraisal business, but just for business in general. But it's awful easy to sit here today and say, well, you should have, you know, right, been doing this work, you know, 2 years ago when things were busy. And I know in the mastermind group, there's a lot of talk about working on your business and working in your business. Yeah. But you know, I get it. You're drinking from a fire hose. There's mm-hmm. money to be made, and all of your time is taken up doing work. So a lot of my appraiser friends are in the position where they were so busy back then that they didn't take the time to do the groundwork to have private work today. What would you say to them? You know, first off, all is not lost. You can still yep. do this. But how would you advise them to start today to get from A to B as quickly and as efficiently as possible?
Yeah, it's a really, really good question. And the obvious answer is yes, start today, right? But it doesn't end there. Start today to do what, Dustin? Like, what would you coach me to do that could bring business in the door tomorrow? Now, Hal, one of the case studies that I did not focus on in the buzz, but it goes to your question, is an individual that I know that's in my mastermind. In fact, I'll just tell you, it's the California mastermind. And this individual several months ago said, you know what, I'm tired of being stressed out about my mortgage and how to feed my kids and what the future looks like for appraisers. I'm going to take control. And so he attended a mastermind. By the way, we attend every quarter. So he attended a mastermind, and then he came back 3 months later. Okay. Now, I don't remember the numbers up on the top of my head, but they were extraordinary. I want to say upwards of 70%, okay, that he had changed in 3 months' time. Now, why in the world? How could anybody change that quickly? And I'll tell you, it wasn't easy. He was working a lot of hours. He said 60 plus hours a week, and spending most of his time not doing appraisal work, but most of his time, as you mentioned, Hal, working on his business. Now, let me get very specific. What he was doing is networking, outreach, client communication, touches is what we call them in the mastermind group, right? Contact with those individuals. This is direct lending. This is review work. But most importantly, this is attorneys. He got a lot of work from attorneys and other individuals that he was simply networking with. In other words, the point that I'm trying to make, Hal, is yes, these things typically take a lot of time to build. But if your focus right now is private work or even just work in general, whether it be direct work with your lenders or what have you, I know of individuals that in a very short period of time, within a couple of months, were able to increase their business dramatically.
And the thing about it is, you know, the old adage, when is the best time to plant a tree?
Right. Yeah. 20 years ago, right?
Yeah. Barring that, today.
For sure.
Here's the thing. I have been through phases in my career where I needed to get business and I needed to do it fairly quickly. And I'm thinking specifically of the private investigations business. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do more criminal defense work. There were a couple of attorneys in Texas that I really wanted to work with. And it was not unusual for me to spend, to be in Dallas for some work, call an attorney in Lubbock and say, hey, I'm going to be in Lubbock tonight. Do you want to have dinner? Mm-hmm. And if he said, no, man, I'm in the middle of a trial, I can't do that, I'd say, okay, I'll catch you next time. But if he said, absolutely, meet me at Cafe J and we'll have dinner tonight, I would rent a car out of Dallas, drive to Lubbock, have dinner with him, stay in the hotel that night. Yeah, buy mm-hmm. the dinner, stay in a hotel that night, drive the rental car back the next day. I did that several times without making the first ask.
Yep. Exactly right. Now, yeah, and Hal, I would add to that, and I apologize, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I would add to that, that what you're describing, every listener right now knows these things, right? We know about these things, and most appraisers have been in business long enough that they remember doing those things, the things that you're describing, and walking into the mortgage company with your resume and impressing the people that you're there. We all did that, and guess what? We all hate it. Right? It mm-hmm. sucks. Networking mm-hmm. is not fun. Sales is not fun. But we are not in a position anymore, appraisers, that you can sit back and listen for the fax machine to ring anymore, because it's not ringing. You've got to get out and get the business.
That's it. That's it. And here's the thing. It takes time. It takes effort. It may even take some money out of your pocket on the short end. But that investment, that time, that energy pays off in the long run. I will say this. My ego is such that I am not above doing that today if I need to make new connections. And Dustin, you know me, I spend a lot of time traveling around the country, just meeting with people, going to conferences, networking, doing that thing. I know it's hard for the appraisers out there who have been used to drinking from a fire hose. I know that it's difficult when your model is built on, you know, AMC's having so much work that they're begging for appraisers. I get that, but that's not the case anymore. It's going to take some work. Let's do this real quick. I'm going to take a quick break and we'll hear from another one of our sponsors and then we'll come right back.
The Dictionary of Real Estate Appraisal, 7th edition, is a landmark text that reflects the depth and breadth of appraisal knowledge. Each entry, definition, and reference has been painstakingly researched and designed to reflect an expert understanding of issues that currently impact the profession. The new dictionary is an essential authoritative resource for all appraisers. The dictionary is divided into two sections, an alphabetical listing of terms directly related to real estate appraisal, and an addendum with topical glossaries and compilations of terms used by related real estate professionals. Find it at appraisalinstitute.org/dictionary7.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Hal Humphries. You're listening to The Appraisal Buzz. I have Dustin Harris with me today, and I'm absolutely tickled about that because Dustin is a smart guy, and he and I have been friends for quite some time now. And we've had long conversations about how to do this work in a way that actually makes money but doesn't kill you. So, Dustin, do you have, you know, we've talked about getting non-lending work. We've talked about kind of what it takes to network and to get your head back in the space of, you know, a new minted appraiser back in the day trying to network. We have to do that again now, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about those things. Yeah. What tips do you have for someone out there who's trying to streamline their revenue sources and what they can do to increase their dollar per hour worked?
Yeah, this is literally the $64,000 question, Hal, and I'm glad you asked it. What's interesting about these case studies, again, I put three in the Buzz article. I would refer people back to that Buzz article to really get true numbers, but not just the numbers. I go into detail as to what these individuals are doing. For example, there's an example in there of an East Coast male appraiser. I don't use actual names in there, but this is an individual who is in one of my masterminds. In fact, I'll just tell you, in my Nashville mastermind, the same mastermind that you're in, Hal, you probably know this guy. And he is doing much better this year than he did last year. And why, right? That's the question. How could somebody be doing better this year than last year? Well, it really comes down to six things. Now, not every one of these individuals are doing all of these six things. Some are focused on, you know, three of them and maybe two of them and maybe one of them, right? But these are all key elements to make sure that you're going to be increasing your business. And by the way, I should mention this individual that I just brought up, the East Coast male appraiser, will be at my Hawaii VIP mastermind in January. He's going to be teaching the rest of us what he's doing and why it is that he's able to do better this year than last. So that's going to be super cool as well. But it really comes down to six things. Number one, we talked about it, networking, getting out and meeting people, getting to know people. You're going to find that when you rub shoulders with other like-minded people, that success comes from that. Again, it's a long game, but it works. Speaking and educating, right? Getting up in front of attorneys, getting up in front of realtors. This is stuff that a lot of people are scared of doing, but once you do it a time or two, it's not that difficult. And you would be amazed at the connections that you make and the way that people reach out to you. I've often said you need to be known, and you need to be known as the expert. How better to do that than get up in front of a group of RE/MAX realtors and teach them how to read an appraisal report or what to do when they get a report that they consider bad? Like, how do you handle that? They want to hear from you and they will send you business. Digital presence is probably the biggest factor, Hal. It's getting out on Google Business profile. It's getting out your reviews. It's being known on social media. It's having a great website, right? These things seem like simple things, and I guess they are, right? But it's the simple things that do the great things. Again, it's client engagement. It's your business strategy. One of the things that many of these individuals are talking about is streamlining their process so that they can get out appraisals quickly, but with quality, right? Reducing their revisions. And what you find is there is business out there, right? But that business is not going to go to the appraiser who constantly gets revision requests, right? And many appraisers scoff at the report cards and they say, well, I'm not going to worry about my report card. Well, guess what? Neither are your clients. They're not going to worry about you if you don't worry about the report cards. But if you can get those report cards up, that's when you see the key. And of course, the final thing that people mention is the coaching, the mentoring, you know, the associating, not just with me, but with other appraisers, with other mentors, with other successful people who say, you know, let's strategize together to build something, not like we did before, but something new that works.
Yeah, I love it. And I just want to, I want to kind of emphasize some of those things and kind of dive into them just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. On the networking side, you know, I was talking to an appraiser the other day who said, I'm really having a hard time getting work. I don't know any lawyers. Meet them. There are lawyers in your town. Trust me, there are lawyers in your town. Find out where they are. There are bar association meetings. There are criminal bar association meetings, divorce and family law.
Many people don't even realize you can attend those, but yeah, you can become an associate member of the bar and you can attend those meetings.
Yeah. So, you know, find out where those meetings are happening, go and just introduce yourself, say hi. Here's the thing. You're not going to get attorney work by sending a cold letter or email to an attorney's office. They're never going to see it. Right.
Amen.
The gatekeepers are going to toss it in the trash. Mm-hmm. So networking is key. Part of networking, I would suggest, is going to conferences. Come to the ACTS conference coming up next year in Colorado Springs, Colorado. You know, we'll be there with the NAA. Be there with fellow appraisers. Here's the thing. Appraisers that go to conferences are the ones you want to be around because they're out networking, learning from each other, having, you know, having discussions about the business. So networking for sure. The last thing I want to touch on is you said a strong digital presence. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how many appraisers I've gone to their website and it looks like MySpace circa 1995.
Yeah.
It's just bad design, you know, maybe an animated eagle GIF on there, something like that. It doesn't cost that much money to have a really pretty website. Spend a little bit of time. You can even do it for free and some time. Mm-hmm. Just a one-page scrolling website that looks professional, gets across the key information. And here's the thing. In my experience, when people go to your website, they're not really looking for a lot of detail. They're just trying to verify that you are who you are and that you have a professional appearance about you.
Credibility. So,
credibility. That's what they're looking for. So, you know, Dustin has, you know, an incredible service that he does for appraisers. If you can afford it and you have the time, I strongly suggest you check out his mastermind groups. Again, this is not paid for. Dustin didn't pay me to say this. It is one of the smartest things I've ever done as an appraiser and as a business person, is to be involved in that. And Dustin will tell you, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I'm not there all the time. Matter of fact, I haven't been in quite some time. But the times I've gone have been such a benefit to me that I can strongly encourage anybody to check that out. And you know, I think that's it, Dustin. I'm very much appreciative of your time today. Morrison, do we have by chance an anonymous appraiser question that Dustin and I could noodle around trying to figure out?
Oh boy, you didn't prepare me for this, huh?
Yeah, before we let Dustin off the hook. So we do the anonymous appraiser question. These questions can come in from all of our listeners. Comments at appraisalbuzz.com or message us on the Appraisal Buzz forum.
So and I'm going to jump in real quick. Dustin, I know the question is coming, but I never look at the question, so I'm right there with you. We're just going to hear this.
All right. We're in the same boat together. Here we go.
Yeah.
I have an FHA purchase where it's two adjacent lots, one improved. At this point, it's excess land for the second lot. They could sell it separately, and there's a lot of development going on in the subdivision that would make its highest and best use a separate lot. Mm-hmm. However, I have a listing that is also being sold as two adjacent separate lots. How do you handle the comparison?
This is easy. Yeah. This is the same answer that I give to almost any of these types of questions, and it comes down to highest and best use, right? And it sounds like this individual appraiser already understands the highest and best use because they alluded to it, they shadowed in the question itself. But really, you have to understand your individual market. Just because there's another listing out there that is similar, right, that doesn't mean that all of those tests of highest and best use are met, including the most important, where is the most value? And that's really what that appraiser needs to find out.
Absolutely. That's all I would say. Exact same thing. It's a highest best use issue. And if they've already identified it as excess land, then they know what the answer is.
Mm-hmm. So it's just a case of them overthinking the problem and, you know, making a mountain out of a molehill.
The only thing I would add to that is they also need to be aware of client restrictions, right? Anytime we do an appraisal, we have to understand that, okay, this is eventually going to be sold. They mentioned FHA, right? But, you know, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, they all have their set of guidelines and rules. And does FHA allow for that second lot to be included on the appraisal? These are things that they need to find out. So in conjunction with their scope of work with their client, and also with the highest and best use, that would be my recommendation on the direction that they go.
Yeah, I'm absolutely right there with you.
Is this your pocket use PAP?
Yes, pocket use PAP. I just pulled it out right here. Excess land has the potential to be sold separately and is valued separately. Surplus land is defined as land that is not currently needed to support the existing use, but cannot be separated from the property and sold off for another use. So if you've identified it as excess land, it's a separate valuation. If your client needs that appraised, it's a separate valuation.
Yep. I'm with you, Hal. I think you're spot on.
Jim Morrison, do we have anything else we need to cover today?
Well, we will put the link to Dustin's article in the description of this this Buzzcast if anyone missed it. But Dustin, thank you so much for your time today. It's always great talking with you.
It's good to be with you guys.
Well, if that's it, for Jim Morrison and Dustin Harris, I'm Hal Humphreys, and that is your Appraisal Buzzcast for today.